Hey, Walk Stars. Today on the show, Libby and I are sitting down with someone very special, the person who brought us into each other's lives. I'm not going to give it away to you just yet, but we talk about community, we talk about legacy, and we talk about our walking practices.
I can't wait for you all to hear it. There's a lot of laughter, embedded wisdom, and care for one another.
Get your journals, take some notes, and enjoy the episode.
Blind Nil Audio.
I'm Alex L.
I'm Libby Delena. Welcome
to This Morning Walk Podcast. Libby.
Yes, Alex.
This is the day that we have our first guest on the show.
I know. We've been talking about this for a while.
We have.
It's exciting.
It's so exciting. I'm so glad to bring the community into our conversations. Like, this is something you and I have been wanting to do since we started the pod.
I know. And I think we have an ongoing list of many people that we are excited to talk to. And this first guest, very exciting. This is how we came together, how you and I ended up in each other's lives. So it's particularly meaningful.
Yeah, it's really special. So today on the show, we have Joanna Gaines joining us, and we're just sitting down and talking. It's like three girlfriends catching up, which is what we have always wanted this show to be. I mean, just three folks in community, in conversation, in our truth. I'm just so excited that we're going to have guests on the show. Like, I just am beside myself. I cannot wait to talk to other folks about where they're walking, what they're walking through, how they came to this practice, if they're new to it, if they're veterans. Like, I am so excited to just be in conversation with other people and bring them into this space that we've created. And having Joe on the show as our first guest, it just makes sense because Magnolia Magazine is how I found you, and I just feel like it's very divinely aligned, everything. And you'll hear it in the conversation. Just, I don't want to spoil it, but I loved it all.
I love you so.
I love you too. Y'all enjoy this conversation with me, Libby, and Joanna Gaines.
Finally.
Hi, good morning.
How long have we been talking about doing this? I do wish we were really walking in person, but that's for another time.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's dive in. I'm really excited to chat with you. We can't talk to you without talking about how Libby and I met, which is essentially through you before we knew you.
I love this story.
It is amazing that we're all on this conversation together because this is, I mean, it is you that is the reason we're all connected. It's just
wow.
Glorious.
Yes.
Yeah, you tell the story, Alex.
So I was, oh my gosh, where was I? I think I was in Milwaukee visiting my in-laws, and me and my husband were waiting at the terminal to board. And I was like, let me go get a snack or two. And then, of course, there's Magnolia Magazine with all the other magazines. And I'm like, this is the only magazine that I actually want to read. So I'm just going to grab this one, see what Joe is talking about. And I open the magazine when I sit down, and it flips immediately to Libby. She's in this, like, forest, which I have walked with her in since seeing that. And she's this tall, white-haired lady, badass, who walks every day. And I was like, I told Ryan, I'm like, she walks every day? She has walked the circumference of the earth?
Yes.
I was just...
Since 2011.
Hello, floored, okay? And I was in a transition in my life where I was just like, I need something new. And I immediately bought her book, listened to it like three times, read it and highlighted it. I got some words tattooed on me, actually.
Wow.
And then I DM'd her and stalking her. I'm just like, I love you. Can we be friends? I'm going to start walking. And now we're here. There's the Cliff Notes version, but it's all because I saw her in Magnolia.
I always get the chills when I hear that story because I do feel like there's so many times in life we don't understand like how one thing leads to another thing. And like just that one act of, I'm going to get this. And then the connection, you know, it just, it's so special. It's like miraculous, magical, whatever. It just feels so divine that you two were to meet. And now what you're doing, even with this podcast and just your friendship, and it's so beautiful. And to think it was because of an article in the magazine that was inspiring us as a magazine team because of Libby. Mm-hmm. And so it's just so special. Now all three of us are here, and it's like some things are just destined to be, you know?
Yeah,
they are. And the thing that is, I would say, moving, shocking, important to me is it's all because of an activity we can all do, walking, right? And I am so grateful for this practice that I happen to have started, you know, coming up on 12 years ago. But that's what we're here to talk about, is the impact of going for a walk and how it can change our lives. And we've just discussed quickly how it's changed all of our lives. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's certainly changed my life. And Joe, I know you are in the process of creating your walking practice. Share with us what that is.
You know, well, right now, this week, it's looking like I need Libby to inspire me. I will tell you, with weather, Chip says I'm the biggest brat. When it gets a little cold, I just can't function, because I go through these phases where when we originally met via DM, via the internet, whatever it's called, I was reading your book, Libby. I started walking, and this was, I feel like last fall, so like a year ago.
Yes.
And I started the practice of walking every day, weather. And I remember you saying rain, shine, whatever. When it was raining, I went for that walk. And then something happened with my back, had surgery in December, and then it just was hard for me to ever get back on track, because part of me was like, was I walking too hard? I mean, the one time I'm actually finally like doing an activity and then my back goes out, so now I'm just like cautious. I like don't know what it is. But for me, mentally, I always know that season was so special, even when it was cold, like it is right now. Mm-hmm. That practice of just, it was that clarity. It was that there was never a time I regretted it. So it took me a while to get back on track, but I'm here again. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, I didn't walk this week because it's too cold.
Fair enough.
But the second I say I'm going to do it, I do it. I am a slacker right now, and I'm being honest with y'all. But after this conversation, you can hold me accountable. And I'm going to walk my butt in that cold rain and freeze, but it's going to be so good.
Well, here, let me tell you something.
Okay.
So the first year of walking, I was like, okay, that was cute, walking every day outside.
That was cute.
Okay. But it had gotten really cold in Maryland, and I was like, I'm getting a walking pad. I'm not going to turn – I'm going to tell you what a walking pad is in 1 second.
Okay.
I am not going to turn this practice that I love into something that I despise, and that's a pain in the butt to do. And so I Googled indoor walking pad, and it literally is a treadmill, a portable treadmill that folds in half. You can store it under your bed. You can store it under the credenza, which is where mine is. And when it's too late, I mean, I have three kids. Sometimes it's just like, I don't want to go out for a walk. There's so many other things to do, but I will get on my walking pad and put that thing on 3.2 and walk a good 1.5-2 miles, and boom, I'm done. And that's my walk. And I shared last year I celebrated year two in September. Make this practice your own practice. Mm. This isn't about doing it like Libby, because I was like, nope. I'm getting up at 5 in the morning.
I love that.
And I'm going out.
Nope.
And she was like, don't do that. If you hate it, don't do that.
That's so – well, I thought maybe part of the weather was part of the thing. But I will tell you this, after the day I DM'd you that night, it got dark, because it's getting darker now because of the fall. And I walk on the farm on this back road. And I'm going to be honest, at night, I'm always scared of coyotes. I'm like, my luck. Mm-hmm, and sure. I never, because it's on the farm, I don't take a phone. I just try to be completely, but then I'm like, I'm going to get chased by coyotes and not, so I don't go out at night. So then I have a treadmill in the garage. So I was like, fine, I'll walk on the treadmill. I push power. It's not working. I unplug it. It's like my treadmill went out. So I'm like, dang it.
Okay. I'm going to link you with the walking pad.
Maybe I need a walking pad.
Well, and here, the bottom line is, my walking practice is only mine. It looks the way it does because it suits me. And it is not a system. It is not a recommendation. It is an invitation.
I love that.
To build a little bit of time in your life to go for a walk wherever. However, there are times for me, honestly, when things are really busy I'm going to the market, I park as far away from the front door as I possibly can. I get into my this morning walk time frame, and it's literally a 2-minute walk to the front door. And I hold that as being really important and really sacred, but it's not about the number of steps. It's not about the number of miles. And so the invitation is make it joyous and something you love.
The invitation is choose yourself.
Choose yourself.
I love that.
We've talked about this so much about the fidelity to this practice, like the choosing of self, the choosing of, okay, I may not get my long walk in today, but I want to move my body. I want to take 2 minutes to be mindful. So I'm going to park in the Trader Joe's parking lot far away and take my sweet time walking. And so I want to shift the conversation a little bit and talk about, Joe, what you're walking through right now, emotionally, spiritually, in your own maybe mindfulness practice, mm-hmm. because this isn't just about let's go out for a walk. It's also, okay, What are we walking through? What are we thinking about? So what's been coming up for you lately?
This has just been such an interesting season. I'm going to try to, because I feel like there's like phases, but the last 10 years of our lives, we feel like we're a bit of a whirlwind. It was like, where are we? We're 2023. So in 2013, I think is when the show started, and we were just really naive. We were like, oh, we love doing renovations. We were already doing them for clients. But then when that became a show, everything kind of got uprooted because we weren't ready for it. Or maybe we were ready for it, interpersonally. Like, we always joke that if this would have happened 10 years earlier, it would have like spiraled us. But thank God we were, we kind of knew what was important to us. We weren't trying to figure things out. So we do feel like it came at the right time, but the last 10 years has just been a whirlwind. When I look back, I'm like, hard for me to remember details. And I don't know if it was out of just like trying to survive and make it through, because when I say that, it was really exciting, but also just really hard. A change was happening every second, change and growth and then ungrowth, all the things. So I say all that because this year is our 20th anniversary for when we opened Magnolia, 20th anniversary of when we got married, and then really like the 10th anniversary almost of when Fixer started. So it feels like this significant year, but it's the first year that Chip and I are going, what's in front? Like, what's next? Yeah. And for whatever reason, we don't see it. And we've never not seen it. Like, our whole marriage, our whole journey as partners in business, and even we've just kind of said, this is the next thing. We just love to build things. We love to create things. You know, people are like, you're doing too much, but we love to build. That's who we are. But for whatever reason, in this 20th year, we're like, we've stopped and we're like, huh. And I really feel like it's a gift, honestly, that I don't have like a, this is the next thing. I mean, we just finished a hotel, which is like the biggest project we've ever done, on Friday. So now I'm like, what is next? And for us, I think we're finally just for the first time really feeling some things that we didn't maybe have time to feel in the past. We're reflecting, we're looking back because we don't know what's ahead. So now we're going, well, how do we look back and count all the, I kind of say it like all the mishaps, the miracles, the memory, like all the stuff, like take account of that, because the last 10 years we've just moved.
I think the gift that you are being given is you're being given the gift of space and peace. The gift of being, doing.
Yes. Oh, that's good. And I'm a doer.
The fact that you aren't hearing loudly about what you should be doing, I would argue that the message you're getting is what you should be being.
I love
it. Is being.
Being is more fun than doing.
Right now.
Isn't it? It's so great.
And even with this podcast, to be completely honest, like a lot of the times I want to like, okay, what are we going to talk about? Just to be mentally prepared, because I'm a processor and I want to show up and feel like, I'm ready for whatever the conversation is. And for whatever reason, my instinct was don't look at any of that. Just show up because of the way you two communicate. It's just a flow and it's just authentic. And so it's just freeing to be like, I don't even know what we're going to talk about. I do need to be honest with them that I haven't been walking, but And there's no judgment. I don't feel judged. No. And so normally, you know, I'm all about move forward. But for me, this year has been one of deep reflection of really hold what happened to you guys the last 10, 20 years. And another side as a mom, you asked me, Alex, I'm telling you.
Tell us. We are here.
All of it.
As a mom, so my oldest is 18 and he moved out in August to go to college. And, you know, this last week I was like really reflecting about, I've always said I don't like change. I've always said that I'm resistant to change, and I really am. I'm married to a man who loves change and loves. So I have learned to exercise a muscle I didn't know I had. And when you exercise it, you actually start getting good at change and you start like figuring out, oh, change equals growth equals good. So I feel like I've got that rhythm and I figured it out this last 10 years. But when you think about all the change that's happened in our lives, I've been pretty even keel. Like Chip has said, this last 10 years, you've been consistently Joe. And so part of me is just because I felt like I was grounded and it was good. But my son leaves for college. That change is a different thing as a mother that I'm like, that, I mean, is that why I'm not seeing vision? Like, really, I'm like, it's that beautiful disruption that's natural. Because yeah. I want to say it in a way where it's like, it's sad. It's like that idea of like holding sadness and joy all in one thing, because it's possible. You know it's coming as a mother. And if you're like Chip, you're like celebrating it. And if you're like me, you're like, it just happened too fast. And once my oldest left, I have another one who's 17, another one who's 15, another one who's 14. That's going to happen real fast. And I'm like, am I going to be like losing my freaking mind? Because that one was hard. So I don't know. It's this beautiful journey, I think, that I've never felt so deep as a mother, this connection you could have with a kid and even just home, and these moments that we get to create and to not take them for granted. And then even now, I don't see him as much. Obviously, he's off in college, but my heart just swells about the idea of him growing beyond us. So that makes me really happy, but I miss him.
Yes. Yes. Well, my oldest is 15 and she'll be 16 in a few weeks. And when I tell you, not ready. I am so sad, but so happy. It's such a weird thing to hold. So I'm right there with you. I'm not ready for 18, but sending you love, Mama, because
thank you.
Just know I feel you. Okay.
Thank you. And I feel like I'm going through a midlife crisis. I mean, aren't we all? So then I'm like, and Chip is like, Joe, you know, for the 20 years we've been married, I'm pretty much like, again, I'm not super emotional. Chip is the emotional one, but I have turned into something he doesn't understand now. He's like, you cry all the time. And I'm like, I'm just making up for the 20 years that I have been unemotional. And I actually, I'm having fun being emotional. I'm like, oh, I feel things. Like I'm not resisting it. I actually think there's so much healing and not holding things in that I'm like, this is part of all of it. So now I just love crying. I just cry. The other day I was like getting a facial, wasn't thinking, I just started crying. And she was like, oh, did I hurt you? I was like, no. And I was like, oh.
Like, she was probably like, oh my God.
But I cried. I couldn't stop it. It just comes now. I can't stop it. But I love it. It's like, oh, because I'm feeling. It's like, this is real and it feels good to feel, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will say that as a mom of two boys that are launched,
yes,
that ecosystem combined with bodily changes, midlife, I mean, it's like, all sorts of shenanigans going on. So many things. I don't know. I had a friend who basically said, when they go off to college, you just should wear sunglasses all the time because you're just crying all the time. She's like, just get a couple of really good sunglasses and tuck them all over the place.
And just put them on. Put them on.
Wait, I wore my sunglasses in a meeting the other day and I said, I think I'm getting a migraine. Okay, everybody, I'm lying, because I was crying. So I didn't want them to think, oh, Joe's losing her mind, but it was in a meeting I was leading. But I was like, they can't see this right now because I'm trying to like lead a meeting.
Exactly.
Let's normalize women crying in meetings.
The problem is I'm a really ugly crier. And so we can normalize it, but I got to figure out how to be a pretty crier first.
Well, in the meantime, just tuck sunglasses wherever you might need them. I mean, like cup holders, pockets, all that kind of thing.
Hey, Walk Stars, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Torre. Every week on my podcast, Torre Show, I interview amazing people like Andre 3000, Jada Pinkett Smith, Brescia Webb, Charles Blow, and all sorts of people about what fueled their rise to success and the ways in which being Black shows up in their work. If you want some inspiration to help achieve your dreams, listen to Torre Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Walk Stars. I want to turn you on to one of my favorite podcasts in the entire world. It's the 10% Happier podcast, and it has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, and I truly believe this. So why not master it? Hosted by Dan Harris, a journalist who had a panic attack on national television and then set out on a journey of transformation. He's now on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Every week, Dan talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity in wide-ranging conversations that explore topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. The interviews cover everyone from Brené Brown to Alexander Draiman to Sam Harris. So, Walkstars, as you know, this podcast is much more than just about walking. It's the same for 10% Happier. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. Find 10% Happier wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to This Morning Walk podcast. Well, the other thing I was about to say is I will say the one thing I've really learned in this walking practice is that, and I've said this, I think, probably to both of you before, I don't know what I'm feeling unless I'm walking. When I add motion to my emotions, I begin to understand them.
But I love the motion to the emotion, like that idea. And when I started that thing of like, I need to walk, and it became this like thing where I was diligent again, even in the rain. I thought that's how I was supposed to do it, because that's how you do it. But I love that it's like, but I really did appreciate when it was so cold, I was more attuned to something. My body, like, again, it's important to feel something.
Yeah.
But what I would always start, I would always say, I would start my walk with guilt in my gut or anxiety, and then at the end of the walk, that would leave. And that's why I had to walk. And so lately, with just like everything feeling like a swirl and whatever, I feel like finally, like, all the stuff is, the hotel's done. We did celebration. And now I've got a slower November and December is where I want to put this back into practice. My back is fixed. I can do all the things, but it's truly because I don't want to care. I now know what it feels like to carry guilt. I used to, the way I felt my whole life, I thought was just how I feel, where now I'm like, I'm going to let you stay for a second so I can identify what's going on, but I need you to go. And walking is, to me, the best way to get that physically out, like move it out up to my head and out. And so
it's
addicting. Once you realize when you're done walking, there's not that anxiousness, there's not that fear, there's not that guilt. And then on a day where you may have, like you said, a 5-minute walk, your body now knows how to do that practice of, hey, what you're feeling right now, get it out, deal with it, process it. But I can't, I think about my life and the years, 30, 40 years that I've held on to stuff, thinking that's just me and how I carry things was really me like bottling it up. And now I'm like, oh, freedom is walking past it, like dealing with it. But so walking is something, journaling and walking is like, and I feel like that's both of your expertise. I mean, you have practiced in almost a way of perfecting it, where it's like inspires so many of us to do it. I do feel like it's just a discipline. It's a daily discipline that's actually so healthy. So I love that it's cold outside and I'm going to get my butt out there and do it. And I will always think of you two as my accountability partners, because I need it. I should just send you a picture every day just to say I did it.
Do it. And it's day by day, step by step. And something that walking has taught me is how to trust myself. Mm-hmm. I started walking when my youngest was just turned 2. Mm-hmm. I felt so disconnected from my body, from who I was. I had my 2 youngest kids 20 months apart. I just felt like a milk machine and like just somebody who was constantly pouring out and not getting anything in return. And that's not necessarily because I wasn't being supported. It was more so because I had this complex of like, I can do it. If I'm not doing it, then it doesn't count.
Right.
And wow. So walking really helped me figure out how to identify my wants and needs, how to tell my husband, here is how I need you to show up for me. Here's how I want you to show up for me. Even our oldest, even my sister friends, like, I just need y'all to come over here, hold this baby and cook a meal so I can go shower. Right. And so like, yes, just identifying, walking has taught me how to identify my truth without shrinking and without second guessing that, oh, am I even worth this? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the container. I'm the one who holds everybody's stuff. I'm the one who has the capacity. But really, other people have capacity for us. And walking has taught me to trust my community, which brings me kind of to our next shifting question of community and what that means for you. You mm-hmm. said earlier that y'all love to build, and we know y'all build tangible, beautiful things, but what has community taught you about building and like how you walk through life with other people?
Yeah. For us, I think community is everything because it makes us remember we're not on an island. And sometimes community truly is because of our lives and how busy with our five kids, it's our family. Like yesterday we sat around the table, Drake came home. And so I made a big lunch and we just sat and lingered around the table. And it was just like, I was like, this is my community today. And this is my like, oh, it fills my tank. And so I think community is such an important piece. And so I think the lie is that a lot of times is that it's just me and Chip trying to figure this out together on an island. That's not the truth though. The truth is that we have a beautiful community, even our team around us here at Magnolia that rallies around, that helps us try to make the best decisions. But then our community, as far as friends, like this month has been just busy. And I typically am one to hunker back and to stay home and to just like try to refill by myself in the garden. Mm-hmm. Painting, pressing, like that's just what really fills my tank is alone time. I'm just like built like that.
Same.
Chip, on the other hand, loves that community. And so last week I was like, you know what? I'm going to go out of my comfort zone. And every weekend has been busy for the last like 8 weekends. And so I was going to hunker down and stay home. We finally had a free weekend. Instead, I decided to invite 22 people to go to dinner last night. And Chip this morning was like, Joe, you were smiling and laughing so hard. And so even in the moment where I thought my body needed retreat and rest, and sometimes it truly does, I instinctively knew I needed community. And so last night we stayed out way too late on a Sunday night, and I feel like I need a filter for this Zoom call. But it was so good for the soul. And it was something that like I fought for community. I need people and I need our friend group and I need to know we're not alone. And so that, and then obviously we're so close to our parents and my sisters. And so, you know, finding community, no matter if it's family or work, or it's just, we are made to work together and we are made to be together. And yes, there are times where alone time is so healthy and good, but you have to fight for it, especially in today's world where it's like you have to fight. A lot of it's kind of false community, I think, where we think we have a community. True. And it's really at the end of the day, when all hell breaks loose, who's really going to be there for you when all hell breaks loose? And that's like what you need to fight for and like fostering that.
You know, what's interesting for me is my sense of community has shifted a little bit. I've spent quite a bit of time kind of by myself this last year for a variety of reasons, all terrific.
Yes.
And I have found in my walking practice, I'm out here in Northern California. I'm out by the Redwoods in this glorious location. And I am now finding that for me, yes, community of spirits and souls and friends and family are essential to well-being. And I think this may sound really esoteric, but I kind of feel like, gosh, I walk this one trail all the time. Like the trees are now my community.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm like,
I know you were.
She's going to talk about being friends with the trees.
Well, I'm friends with the flowers. All the flowers are my friends in the garden and they know everything.
Yes.
They know everything.
I saw you smile, Alex. I'm like, she knows exactly where I'm going. I every now and then I'm like, there's this one tree. I'm like, good morning, mama. I see you. There is such wisdom embedded in you. You have got these deep roots. You're connected to your sister next to you. They have this, you know, the top of their tree line is something called crown shyness, where the leaves don't touch, so they give each other space.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, you all have this figured out, my
it's
friends.
Beautiful.
And So as I walk on this one path, and when the wind comes in, they just, you know, move. So the way I visualize it is these trees have these deep, I want to be like them. Yes. They have these deep roots. They are rooted. They are grounded. They know who they are. They are in their place. Mm-hmm. And when the storm blows through, they just sway.
They hold each other through it.
They hold each other and they move and they don't get, I mean, obviously sometimes they do tip over. That's extreme. But the general feeling is, so I will say I have this one walk that I do very regularly, and I'm now like, okay, you are my friends, and actually the ancestors of the earth are my friends. Those who've walked before me are my friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you are. I honor you. I am so glad there's this path. It's made by the people who came before me. It's made by the bobcat who I saw the other day and walked right past me. So,
Libby, you terrify me when you talk about that damn cat.
I know. I'm like, and I'm scared of coyotes. Coyotes are terrified of me. A bobcat. Well,
one of my sons said, he basically was like, okay, this is enough, Mom. This is enough. We're done with that. I would like you to get a fanny pack, and in it, there's a whistle. There's like, we're going to grow up a little bit. He sent me links to all this, you know, smart safety stuff, because I'm a little too cavalier. But I will say, so for me, I've expanded my notion of community to be, of course, the essential family, friends, being right there together. I hold hands with my dear friends all the time, male and female, old and young. I mean, that component's really important. And now I sort of feel like I walk past their redwoods and I'm like, ooh, good morning.
But that's that next layer that I think so many of us miss. Because I think like you said, community is like a known thing. Everyone knows. Yeah. Like if you're, that's the first thing you know, whether you do it or don't. We know that. Mm-hmm. That next layer of like this communion with nature, or this thing that only nature can give you because it's so pure and good, that I think sometimes people forget to tap in and go a little deeper. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. Like there's days where the garden calls me into the, and I have nothing to say, nothing. And I just feel like it's teaching me so much in the quietness that it's like, nature is such a gift in that way. And when you can go beyond the layer of like that physical, tangible conversation and go deeper and realize there's some stuff that you can't see, hear, or know, but just have to trust is so good for your soul. That interaction is so healing too. So I love that idea.
There's lessons in the dahlias.
Oh. So do you grow dahlia? I mean, I just saw your post.
I love flowers. I'm sort of mobile right now, so I don't have a garden where I'm doing that. But one of my really dear friends where I live at home, Mary Jo, she is like the dahlia queen. I'm obsessed with dahlias.
I love them. I've started growing them in the garden. And there's just something about, and the tubers, like how ugly, everything about the process. I'm like, that is life right there. And don't throw it away and it will come back. And sometimes the ugliest things are the most beautiful things. Like I've become obsessed with dahlias as well.
And to be really ridiculous, this is I'm a graphic designer, so I like things to be lined up. Yes. I like things to be kind of kerned really nicely.
Yes.
A dahlia to me is like, look at the precision. The look perfection. At the Fibonacci sequence. Yeah. The perfection.
I love that. I just looked it up. I just looked up what the meaning of dahlias are. And it's a symbol of devotion, love, beauty, and dignity.
Dang. I love it.
Right.
Yeah. So the title of this podcast is going to be Trust the Dahlias.
Trust the dahlias.
Amen.
Alex, why don't you tell us about your community? You're so smart about this, by the way. I love you.
I love you. I think I love you a little bit more, especially after the talk of the trees and groundedness. Like, love it. I think for me, I have especially, so I turned 34 in July, and I've been looking at what it means to have community in this season of my life. And for me, it is having women in particular around me who I feel safe with, who don't try to fix what's wrong, who just hold space and listen.
Yes.
And so as someone, there's one friend that I have, she's a new friend, and we've been friends for about a year now. And she is one of the only people I will walk with outside of you, Libby. And we don't have to be talking. Mm-hmm. We can just be together. She's a photographer and she takes her camera. I'll bring my camera and sometimes we'll go on photo walks. We won't even say a word. We'll just be with each other. And I think that that is what I need more of, is just being with people who make me feel safe, even in the silence, like not trying to fill with noise, with small talk, but just feeling each other's energy. Like that is one of my favorite things, to be with people who I love and not necessarily have to be sitting and talking, but just sitting and being with each other.
And I would say back to the mama thing, walking with our kids is like, I think, magical.
I will say I'm not a fan of walking with my kids. I will say that. Fair enough. I love my children. I love walking Isla to school every morning, but I will say
it's a different walk.
I love it. It is a different walk. Crew will take me somewhere I wasn't planning on going. That's not even a walk anymore. I'm chasing him.
Fair enough.
But Alex, it's funny you say that. This morning, Chip and I were talking because last night, you know, we were sitting at this table, and my little sister, who were very close, I looked at her. I was like, you need to sit next to me. So she comes and sits next to me, and I was explaining to Chip, we said zero words to each other. But I put my hand, because I'm pretty introverted. And so, yes, these are my friends, but I still just need that, like, so I put my hand under her leg so I was touching her. So the whole night, she's just right by me. And I told Chip, I was like, that is to me the sweetest thing, that with me and my sister, when she comes over, we just have a cup of coffee. We just sit there. We're like, and that's all I needed, was just someone to sit in the silence with me. We don't have to try to have a conversation. We don't have to try to figure things out. It's just the presence of being together. And so her sitting next to me last night was what brought me like comfort and peace, so that I could become extroverted with everyone else around me. But me just touching her was like my comfort. And we said nothing to each other. And we were both fine. Like, we both know that's our safe place. Like, you don't, she's not mad at me because she didn't say anything. It's just like, we just need to touch each other. And then, so I love that it's just like, there's certain people in our community that just allow us to be completely nothing.
Yeah.
And be good. Just like, I'm just sitting here and we're good. It's beautiful. It's a gift.
And in a way that when you say we can just be with nothing or be nothing, it's everything, right?
Yes.
That's a dichotomy of it. It's like,
it fills me up the most. It's just like,
exactly.
The stillness. There's so many messages in the stillness.
And also just the other day, there were two really cool things that came up, that now that we're getting out of October, and like, there's some fun opportunities that came up for November, like that Chip and I could have done. And I sat there and I was like, I was really excited about November and December being quiet, but these are like opportunities of a lifetime. And I kind of sat there and thought, I wonder if I just say no. I mean, we say no a lot typically, just because it's hard with five kids in this business to really do anything. But I'm honored that you asked me to do this, but I'm going to say no to it. And when I got off the call, I was like, oh, I don't have anything now. There's something about doing nothing that's like, it is okay. And it's actually, you know, I think when all this life that we're all in, especially with social media and then like trying to stay relevant or not, and trying to influence and not, like all the things, sometimes you can forget what is my intent. And so for me, every day I have to be like, why am I doing, even like, why would I post this? Like, am I posting this for, I have to like get really deep into why am I doing what I'm doing, and then like pivot if there's any weirdness about, other than I'm doing this because it's good. And so I think sometimes we get wrapped up in, how do you stay relevant? Well, you have to keep saying yes to things. You have to keep showing up. And there is just a rest that comes with, I don't care.
That needs to go on a shirt, Joe. That's merch. I don't care.
IBC. It's so freeing to be like, I'm not going to get on that hamster wheel because
I'm tired. I've been on the wheel.
And you can never get off. And so the point is like, if it's meant for us to be relevant, if that's meant for us, it will not. But if we're chasing it, it's going to always feel forced. It's going to feel a little bit icky, and people can sense that. And so I think it's just like, So it's just that being part, and not preparing and not planning. And again, because I've done that my whole life, and there's seasons where that is absolutely necessary. But I think, again, with that uprooting of my first son, like leaving, I want to be more than do, because I have four children at home that I want to be there for. And they appreciate when I do things for them, but being there and being there for Chip and even being there just for myself is just the richest thing. So I'm thankful for the quiet.
Yeah, I think that's the note you're being given, I suspect. And I will say that, I don't know if I've ever really said this out loud before, but when I start a walk, I actually say out loud, welcome to right now.
Wow.
Be where your feet are.
Be where your feet are. Be here. Nowhere else. Yes. And so, by the way, we are going to be looking for your texts on where you're walking.
Okay. Okay.
And if they don't,
there's going to be a lot of cow poop and goat poop because it's the back road and I have to walk around it. For whatever reason, they don't do that in the pasture. They do it on my road. And I'm like, really? So I'm not joking. You're going to be like, oh yeah, she's really in the pasture.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I love that. So I think to round out our conversation, I think it would be good to end with, I have a few things, but I'm going to pick one. The one that's speaking to me the most is, what impact do you want your legacy to be outside of what you do, but who you are?
I think when I think about just legacy, I can only think, I just think of my kids. Like I don't, beyond that, I can't, my brain won't go there. I just want my kids. I want my kid. Like it's all I care about. And even when I do things like this rose garden that I have, I'm always thinking that one day my kids will come back to it and go, Mom planted those roses for us to see beauty well beyond her. Like these little reminders, not about me, but about beauty and to always seek it and to always fight for it. And so when I think about my legacy, I can only think, I just want my children to just know I love them hard. I love them different. You know, our life is different. Mm. But that more than anything is just that finding beauty in the ugly, finding beauty in the ashes. Like that is, I think, my favorite thing. Like, you know, I'm just saying this because when I go on my walk, I always walk past a burn pile on the farm. And when we can burn it, we burn it. And it's always the ugliest thing. For 4 months, I walk by it and I'm like, that ugly pile of burnt stuff. And then sure enough, in 5 months, it's the most beautiful green grass because there was something about that process that made it the healthiest part on the land. That's that all that reminder of whether I'm ever, if I'm doing a house, if I'm having a conversation with my kid, to find the beauty in the pain and the ashes and the mess. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but I just want my kids to seek beauty, to fight for it, whether that's in relationships, whether that's in their own little souls, and that the things that I'm doing externally, like I said, whether it be the garden or our home, that that's just an extension of that beauty, but it's a reminder to seek out beauty.
I love that.
I love that too.
Libby, how about you?
I think I would love if my legacy somehow had at the center of it a love, to your point, Joanna, love for my family, my kids. And as I walk, honestly, Alex, you and I have talked about Thich Nhat Hanh and his walking meditation, Buddhist monk, and how he, every time he takes a step, he thinks about putting love into the earth, that the energy that he lays his foot down with. And that doesn't happen to me all the time. There's often times where I'm walking, I'm not so happy and not putting, but I've never gotten to the end of a walk where I haven't sort of sorted out some of that. And so it may be that the last two of my steps on my walk are back to love. And for me, this morning walk is really about love. It's love for being able to move. I do not take the practice lightly that I'm able-bodied to do this. I'm so grateful that I can. I walk in beautiful places, the opportunity to see beauty, natural beauty, amazing. You know, I find this practice, the only tattoo I have is this morning walk on my, and it is an expression of love.
Where is that tattoo?
That tattoo is on my left leg.
Left leg, okay.
Because that's on the side of my heart.
I love it.
Yeah, it's on the inside of my ankle because it's for me. It's just on the inside where nobody else can see it. And it's Gotham typeface, kerned out to 20, perfectly curved.
I have a tattoo I haven't told people about, but I got a tattoo. And if you saw it, you'd be like, as a graphic designer, what did you just do?
What'd you do?
It's my mom's writing.
Oh. What does it say?
It's Korean. It's Chimi ike norayo, which means enjoy life, have fun, be present. My mom, she's Korean, so she has her little accent. So she knows I take life serious. And so anytime I'm like, Mom, I'm going to go do this thing. I mean, literally every day, she's like, Jojo, don't forget, have a fun. Like I've never told her you don't have to say have a fun. You can just say have fun.
It.
So it's really have a fun.
Have a fun. That's so great.
It's that reminder to just in the moment, quit worrying about stuff. Just
yeah. Welcome to right now.
Yes.
Mama knows. Yeah, Mama
she
knows.
She sure does.
I know. Okay, Alex, what's your legacy?
Oh, gosh. So I've talked about this a lot in my books and in my work, that my legacy is really connected to my daughters seeing that they are enough, literally, with it doesn't matter what I say, what daddy says, their worth is never going anywhere. And so I just want them to bear witness to me standing in my worth and that be a gift for them. That's just, that's huge for me. Wow. I mean, I often say I'm the matriarch of healing for my lineage because so many cycles stopped with me. And to be blessed with three beautiful girls, I just feel like that is the divine just being like, you have so much work to do. And these girls are going to continue on your legacy of self-worth, of healing on purpose, of being who they are meant to be in this world, with or without permission from somebody else. So that's what I hope my legacy is. And I hope that it lives on through them, that them being who they are gives other people permission to be who they are.
Beautiful.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Well, we just went to church.
We sure did.
Okay. Are you going to give the altar call? I'll come forward.
Please do.
Oh my gosh. Ugh.
Joe, thank you so much for walking with us.
Oh, I could hang out with you two all day. Good night. What a gift this has been just to hear your perspectives. You share your heart the way you've just, I love it. I love y'all's relationship. And I love the way that you invite others into that beautiful relationship as if we're part of that. There's just, again, there's freedom in that receiving of others in such a way, Libby, like you say, with love. Like I feel the love and in that space, people can truly be themselves and they can truly feel like, hey, you can see me, you know me, you can understand what I'm saying. I don't know. There's just something about that that's just so freeing. And I think women need these kinds of relationships where they can show up and just be and feel like this is enough. It's more than enough.
It is.
So thank you for having this conversation with me this morning. I've loved it.
Well, it happened because of you. So we are very grateful.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for featuring Libby in Magnolia Magazine, because without you, I would not have found her.
We wouldn't be here. Okay, so let's wrap it up with our usual. We talk about our tea. I'm drinking beautiful chai, this morning walk chai tea out of my friend Kathy Bailey's Heath mug. How about you?
Oh, I'm always drinking. I had chai. You know, I always am drinking chai. I don't have anything with me right now, but.
Okay, very good. Are you a tea drinker, Joe?
I am a tea drinker, but this morning, because I stayed out too late last night,
I'm
drinking coffee with some pumpkin creamer. I'm actually on my second cup.
Good for you.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah,
great. Love it.
Awesome.
Well, have a great day, everybody. Alex, I love you. Joe, thank you again
thank
so
you.
Much. And I love you too, by the way.
Well, I love y'all. This has been so fun. We need to do it again. And I'm not going to try to scare you, but I really am going to send you feet pictures of me walking.
Yes.
You're going to be my accountability group.
Do it.
Fantastic.
We're down. Thank y'all. Love y'all.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This Morning Walk is a production of Blind Nil Audio, hosted by me, Alex L.
And me, Libby Delena. If you find value and meaning in the conversations that we have on the show, please share it with a friend.
And consider leaving a 5-star review. Also, comments on Apple Podcasts really help us out. When you do that, it introduces this show to a bigger audience. Thank you so much for listening.
You are wonderful. Have a great walk.
Take good care.
The views, information, or opinions expressed in this series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Chip and Joanna Gaines, Blind Nil Audio, nor Magnolia.